It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome to the Adventures in Business podcast, where I am here with my co-host, Lisa Fisher. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. And if you're just tuning in, we are in the Lansing, Michigan area, talking to different entrepreneurs, business owners, people that work, people that hustle, people that are out having an adventure in the workplace. And today we have Paul Schmidt. I'm so excited to talk to you. I talk to you all the time, so this isn't anything new. I've done some projects with Paul, and I know Lisa has too, and we're just excited to talk to our good friends. So welcome, Paul.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. It's our pleasure. Like Amy said, we both had the opportunity to do some stuff with you in the business world and networking, and super glad to have you on to be able to share your story. I know I got to listen to you the other day talk about being an accidental entrepreneur. So I'm excited to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul, really what we'd like to do is begin with letting you tell us who you are and what you do.
I guess we'll just start with the regular spiel. I'm Paul. As you know, I am the owner and creative video strategist for Introduce Multimedia. And what all Introduce Multimedia really is, it is a storytelling agency that uses video to document why nonprofit organizations and socially responsible small businesses do what they do and how they make positive impacts on the community. And that is us in a nutshell. And so we do that in a couple different ways. We do straight up video storytelling, which means it's full service video production. And then we craft the story to put into your website, put into your social media, email marketing, so on and so forth. Then we do live streaming as actually a very big part of our business now. It wasn't 2 years ago. It wasn't there. Now it's like 40, 45% of what we do. So that was a huge shift/pivot that I know that we're probably going to get into a little bit more, but those are really the main things that we do. Anything that is needed in video is what we do. Our specialty with it is crafting the stories from the people that are involved, either from the staffing side and or the customer side of the organizations we work with.
How did you decide this was what you wanted to do?
That's an awesome question. Because, you know, it was like you brought up the accidental business owner aspect of, and this was one of those things that fell into my lap as well. It was something that was probably always set out for me, that this is where I was going to be, but I didn't really pay attention to it. I have a knack of doing that. I just fall into it and be like, oh, I guess this is where my life is going to be there. Okay. And so I've always been a huge film and TV guy ever since I was a kid. Of course, I grew up in a small town. I wasn't around a lot of kids. And so, you know, when you grow up in a small town, there's no cable, you get the four stations, you watch a lot of TV, stuff like that. So that right there. But then I had an opportunity in high school that landed in my lap, and I was whisked away to Seattle to go to do this television camp that was put on. And so I did that thinking that my whole life is going to be revolving about me being in front of the camera. I was going to be world famous film actor, all this stuff. You know, that's where I was going to be. But I won an award for producing a public service announcement from that camp that was aired on the West Coast. And from there, acting didn't work out when I went to college. And I got a notification that I won this award. It was like the end of my freshman year of college or sophomore year or something like that. But then I thought, maybe being in front of the camera isn't for me. And so I shifted to behind the camera And that was, I was 19 years old. And from that point forward, this is where I was. And so that's where it all stemmed from, was that situation was like, you know, a lot of the times you don't really get a chance to initiate. Sometimes it just, boom, landed in your lap and you just, you're like, all right, I'm rolling with it. And that type of thing. And so that's what I did. And so, yeah, and that's how I ended up in this industry. I found out at a very young age where I wanted to be, what I wanted to do. And it wasn't film. I thought I was going to go into filmmaking as well. And I just went with the flow where I was supposed to end up and go and grab my experiences for the opportunities that were thrown in front of me.
Well, we're glad that you ended up behind the camera because you tell and make beautiful stories for people. So why did you decide to focus on nonprofits? I know you don't exclusively do nonprofits, but it's a big part of what you do. So why did you choose that?
I chose that, and I'm going to go back to Seattle because here's a little thing. I mentioned that I went to the television camp that was in Seattle, right? Well, when... let's see, I was out of college maybe 2 years and I got a letter from that organization that I went to the television camp. They were looking for people to work with them. And I'm like, I'm not having a great time at this TV station. I don't know if this is the spot for me. So I signed up and went there. And what that television camp was, it is it expanded into doing, because you could only do the television camp during the summer because that's when they had the opportunity to for housing because it was housed at a college. And so during the rest of the year, you had to generate some income. And so what they did as a nonprofit was they created this video storytelling arm that worked specifically for nonprofits. It was a nonprofit working for nonprofits doing video storytelling. And this is, you know, 1999, 2000. And I was blown away by that style because I was not someone who was keen on the 24-hour news, the broadcast. I just didn't like all the negativity that was associated with it because that's what pays the bills. You know, that's what people liked. But I was like, there's so much other stuff that's going on. Look at these incredible people and these organizations that are run by, this guy could be your coworker or your neighbor or somebody you go to church with and didn't realize the impact that they're making on the community or what these organizations actually do with the money that they raise or what they ask for and who they serve. You don't get to hear their stories. And then By being in this organization, I got to hear those stories. And when I wanted to come back to Michigan to do the same, I wanted to do the same thing. And little did I know how much of a hotbed of nonprofit work that Michigan actually is. I didn't realize that at the time. I just enjoyed those stories and those organizations. And I just felt that more people needed to hear about what they're doing, what's going on in their community. If you donate, where your donor dollars are going and who they're serving, you're seeing actual faces and voices. And these are the actual people that are working with or working for these organizations. And that's what really drew me. I just fell in love with that style of storytelling, you know, and plus I'm a documentary lover as well, especially, you know, getting when I was in high school, that was when Ken Burns came out with Civil War and that style that he had and how he was able to tell that story through multiple voices and stuff like that. And it really, I think, jump-started the documentary filmmaking situation, which has exploded even more nowadays with the streaming services. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But yeah, so that's really what drew me was that experience that I had out west.
You know, we've had the privilege of hosting a couple of nonprofits on our show so far. Looking forward to more because it is all about telling your story and that voice that you talk about. Can you share with us one of your favorite stories that you had an opportunity to video?
This one really was really, you know, it's hard to really narrow down a lot, but one that stuck out to me is it was a situation that would probably the chances of it happening, first of all, was just really slim. And the circumstances that revolved it are a story in and of itself. There's an organization, they're still around in Michigan. They went by a different name. They rebranded, whatever. But they were a regular client of mine for years upon years, and they wanted to do a video on one of their services in particular. And so they had me go out to their Grand Rapids office, Grand Rapids, Michigan office. And everything that they tried to schedule that day just absolutely fell apart. We were trying to do a video on their refugee services, and we could get some of the staff, but the people that they wanted to have interviewed, they were having issues with transportation. They were missing. And so I did what I could at that time, and we're trying to craft the story, but it's hard to craft a story about refugee services without hearing from a refugee. We were just, having some issues. And I know that the client was a little worried because it's like, we keep having you come out here. It's going to get more and more expensive. And before you know it, we were at the house that, a refugee, like one of their houses that they had that a refugee would be able to come into. So I was at this house recording, some of the stuff that was coming into the house. They're filling it out, all that stuff. And we got a phone call, or the client got a phone call saying that there is a family. They said they were from Kenya that was on their way at that moment. They were coming in. They'd spent 24 hours plus coming, trying to get to the United States. And they said they're going to be at the airport in about an hour and a half. So from there, I went to the airport. I rushed to the airport, talked to somebody who is like the first agent that they would meet that's from the agency. They gave me a little spiel on the fly. And then I captured the entire family arriving into the United States for the first time at that moment. And so I was like, holy cow, when is this ever going to happen again? And they were gracious enough to allow me to come back to interview them later, because I didn't feel right interviewing them after 24 plus hours on a flight. And then also all the stuff that they had to go through with customs, all this other stuff. But it was an amazing situation that I'll never forget. That's one. There's plenty. There's another one too that's really big, but I don't want to take up too much time. So yeah, that was one that really stuck with me. But yeah, but there's so many that I could choose from.
Not only do you do video storytelling of nonprofits that give back to the community, but your company itself gives back. You have an internship program that you do, right? Yes. And then you are on the board or involved in several nonprofits around town. Mm-hmm. I see you like everywhere. So tell us a little bit about your internship program.
Well, the internship program I started a while back. And so what I try to do is try to take two interns per semester. And so it's like a winter, a spring, and a summer, something like the fall, whatever. It's three semesters, even though I know that it doesn't make sense mathematically, but I'm not a math guy anyway, so it doesn't matter. So,
trimesters, I think.
Yeah. So I guess that's how it's technically broken up. But what we do here with the interns, we've had a really good relationship with Lansing Community College because they have a situation in which they have to have an internship as part of their programming to graduate. So it's a situation that really fell into our lap in this way. But we've still taken on MSU interns as well. And what we do is we have them take on certain roles while they're able to learn how to do a lot of the production process. So they get time to do camera work. They get time in the editing. We have them in a certain role where they have tasks that it's almost like we build it so that they get some real world experience, but at the same time, they come into a spot that where they're already in our minds placed as a teammate, where they have certain responsibilities right off the bat. And that it's not one of those situations where it's like, oh, while you're here, we need you to mop the floor or make the coffee or do these. No, it's a certain role that's set for them. That's a key component as part of the organization of the projects, because after a project is shot, it goes, you know, and they're on the shoot for that as well. Once that is all captured, then it's up to them to help organize that stuff for the finishing touches to be put on the video. So the internship process is a crucial part of what we do. And we honestly feel the pinch when, let's say, something doesn't work out, we don't get an intern or two, which has happened, especially over the past couple of years. It was because the semesters and the schooling was a little bit difficult to maneuver. But yeah, we feel the pinch because we're like, oh man, that's gumming up the plumbing here. You know, it's gumming up the process because we're missing that body that we rely on and that we train to do that role. And so we try to instantly make them part of the team right after orientation. And sometimes orientation means, okay, well, you're done here. You got to go on a shoot the next day, be ready. So that's how your day is going to be.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that. Your interns are very involved and very good at what they do. I've been on a lot of projects with you where they're there and they're absolutely just part of the team. You wouldn't know that they were quote unquote an intern mm-hmm. necessarily.
Well, and the other aspect to it is it sometimes goes beyond, number one, it goes beyond their time here. If they're still in the area, we sometimes bring them in as in a freelancer position. We'll give them a call and be like, hey, we need somebody. And what's really good about that is they know the situation that they'll go in. They know the equipment they'll be using. They'll know the flow and the people they'll be working with. And so it's not like we have to retrain somebody else. You know, they've already gone through the system. They know what to expect. And that's key as well. And we've been really proud with where our interns have ended up. And so we've had a really successful program for the interns.
Some of them have gone on to do amazing things, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think one of them is supposed to have a film she helped edit for Netflix coming out in 2022. Aww.
Proud Papa. Nice. All right. Good deal. Mm-hmm. All right. So you talked about being an accidental entrepreneur. I like that a lot. I call myself a serial entrepreneur because I've had like five businesses. This is like the portion of the show where we start asking you about like advice and stuff. But I want to start off by asking you, have you ever gotten any really bad advice from somebody about being a business owner? You don't have to say who it is.
Bad advice. Oh, wow. There's really, I'm not going to be super, yeah, that's a good question. Bad advice. Oh, I can't think of anything right off the bat. I know there has been. I think what I tend to do is look at it as not necessarily bad advice, but that advice just does not apply to me.
Sure.
You know, because, you know, there's a lot of experiences that people go through. And they can just throw stuff to the wall and say, you know, you should try this or you should do this. I think, okay, let me back it up. And I think Lisa's like, well, you could miss this. And that's, you should do wedding videos because they make money. Or you can make money, you'd be able to make money at video if you do weddings. And that was a conscious decision of mine to not do that, because I'm like, that just doesn't sound like fun. And if I'm going to look at what I want to do each week, I'm not going to create a business that I'm going to hate. And
right.
This is not to say that those that do wedding videos don't do a wonderful job and they love it. And it's obvious that they love it. That just wasn't for me. And
right.
I mean, I know that not everything you do in the business that you've built into the work that you love, you're going to love. I mean, I don't like paying taxes. I don't like paying my bills.
I don't even like balancing my checkbook.
You know, it's stuff you got to do. But, right. You know, it's just, you know, but the fact of the matter is, I wanted to do something that I, that I love to do. And I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years and it still feels like a new day every day.
Yeah. Well, and I think when you work in a creative atmosphere, you have to like what you're doing, or it's not going to come across. Like you said, there are people out there that do wedding videos and it's obvious they love them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being a digital marketing agency that covers a wide range of things. And there are a couple few things that I'm like, I just don't want to fill my head with all that knowledge. So I'm going to hire that part out. Right. So again,
that's about right. I mean, we had like somebody, there's a person on my staff whose wife actually has a wedding video company. And so if anything comes my way that's wedding related, I'm like, nope, I know somebody who could do that. So, you know, and plus it's a whole industry. It's not an industry that I want to get into. That's just my conscious choice.
Right.
But it's still necessary and needed, and there's good, great people that do it.
Are you a small business or a nonprofit that wants to market better? Of course you want to market better. Join heavy-hitting marketing agencies and experts at the Michigan Marketing Outstanding Brand Summit. All the big bosses will be there. 17 presentations on cutting-edge topics like brand dominance, how to make a logo that doesn't suck, figuring out what the heck SEO is, launching your own damn podcast, upcoming annoying changes for social media, creating videos that slay, and so much more. Win big prizes and take advantage of exclusive marketing training. Join the ranks of marketing bosses throughout Michigan and meet me, Amy Zander, the reigning marketing mobstress of Michigan. Mark Friday, May 6th, 2022 on your calendar. It's not too far away to start planning now. Follow Zedia Media on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for a chance to win tickets. Visit zediamedia.com for more information and to purchase tickets. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com. Your presence will be honored. Your absence will be noted.
When you talk about having it be a good conscious choice, and you know, you brought up your live streaming a couple of times. Tell us a little bit about your live streaming and how you, obviously the last couple of years has played a big role in that. Yet share with us what you do with that.
The live streaming obviously really got accelerated due to the pandemic and trying to get people to understand how this can be incorporated into their whole mission and their whole story, how this can really help. And I said at the beginning of this that I worked at a television station for a couple of years. And in that situation, I learned how to do live broadcasting. And I enjoy that immensely. In fact, I do it for a large and national conference every year. I've been doing that for years, doing the technical and directing of these shows. So when it came up that this is a situation that might be necessary, I really looked into, okay, what is out there? And then I had clients that said, we have to do this. Can you do this? And I'm like, absolutely. And there was new platforms that had already been started that had these capabilities, and even Zoom started to really, and I'd been using Zooms for, I don't know, years as obviously just the meeting platform that it was, but it's clearly expanded into more creative ways. And it's just the way that, you know, they've advanced all that technology over the past couple of years and accelerated that has just been amazing. But I mean, that was just an easy pivot for me to just say, hey, well, let's figure this out. Let's make this into the show that you need it to be. And, you know, it was a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of, and that was one thing. It's just like I said, well, if you're willing to step out onto this, I'm willing to step out with you and figure it out as we go along. And just so that we can just build something that can be great. And, you know, and since then, I mean, it's just been wonderful to learn, wonderful to create an experience for the client that they needed, the organization to step it up and go forward. And we had some huge successes. One of my clients, I mean, they made more money during their virtual fundraiser than they had ever made. It was all virtual. And they did not expect that at all, because they expected a huge step down, and they just blew it out the water. All of us were like, wow, holy cow. We didn't expect it. But at the same time, it's about that story you've been telling. And they worked really hard. They had a hashtag. They had all this stuff during the year. And that was one of the things I was telling my other clients. It's like, look, you can't be silent during this. You have to use the platforms that you have and that you've been working, and work them harder. And that's why everybody was so darn exhausted in 2021, because they worked so hard. And the just desserts that they received because of that hard work. I mean, we shouldn't have been surprised, but we were. But at the same time, you know, it's just like, you know, this is all a testament to the work that was previously done, and the work and all that. You know, I know that people say they're Zoom fatigued, but at the same time, if you think about it, being able to catch something on your time in your space, you don't have to get up and go anywhere. You know, you can join in right there. But not only that, be able to have that for people that can't make it to you in person. And that was the big thing. It was the reach beyond the local, because before they could reach 500 people because they were all in the room. Now they're reaching thousands upon thousands, and that's what did it.
Right.
So understanding that, you know, your audience could be all over the world. Don't limit your donation.
Absolutely.
All those donations.
All right. So I asked you if you ever had some bad advice, but have you ever gotten any really good advice?
Oh, all the time. All the time. Gosh, there's so much. I mean, because the thing is, if you just choose to work the networks that you're in and just listen to the folks around you and the business owners, and you're just going to get all sorts of stuff from them. And I know that it sounds like I'm dodging the question. I'm not.
No. I know our listeners can't see us, but Lisa's like shaking her head and smiling in bed. She's like, yes, network. You're like speaking her love language.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like one of the stories that I gave when I was doing my talk that Lisa was at, was I was at a make or break period of my business, because I had moved to Lansing and I figured, well, I'll just do the same thing I was going to do when I was in Detroit or the Detroit area, but it wasn't the same situation. And so I was running out of cash, and I had to figure out, all right, what do I do to generate income? And then I just went to meetup.com and looked at, all right, what's available here for networking in Lansing? And I found this group, and it, unfortunately, they don't exist anymore, because that was like the group to launch your networking situation. I mean, I still talk to a lot of the folks I met there that 10 years ago that I did that. I guess one of the best pieces of advice that I can think of came from that group. It was a photographer. I sat down with him and he asked me a question. He didn't really give me advice. As much as he asked me a question, he goes, "Have you ever thought about putting yourself on video?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Well, you should. You should do that for yourself." In other words, well, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. So
right.
I did. I did do that. And I was the only video company that was doing that in this area. I would just do it regularly, and I have been. And so if you see other video companies that are doing that right now, hey, got it from me.
You were a trendsetter. Nice.
It's so, that minute with Paul. I've seen him on LinkedIn and on other platforms.
I would try it in different phases, but mm-hmm. I have actually been close to doing like a weekly video for almost, I don't know, like 7-8 years.
Nice.
So it's been a staple for what I've been doing. But I think that is that's probably one of the biggest pieces of advice is just like, if you're going to walk the walk or talk the talk, walk the walk.
Right. Yeah. You are very comfortable in front of the camera because I've been on shoots with you and I've been a subject of the video and make it very comfortable. Your whole team does. You're all very chill.
You do have a phenomenal team and that is hands down a reflection of you. And
so, yeah, absolutely.
Great pleasure to work with. So what's something we haven't asked you, Paul, that you want the listeners to know about you?
Wow. What haven't you asked me that I want the listeners to know about me? Oh, well, gosh, I don't know where to start with that. I would say that I don't even know.
Do you have anything coming up?
Do I have anything coming up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any events coming up or things that you're going to be presenting at or new?
That's funny.
Just out of curiosity.
Amy, I can't think of anything that I could possibly be like sponsoring and or talking in or, you know, well, there's, you know, obviously the reference to, oh my gosh, what is it?
Okay. Medium? No, my marketing summit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the listeners, Paul is sponsoring an entire room about audiovisual stuff, and he's going to be giving a great presentation on. Well, you'll just have to come and find out what his presentation is on. And Lisa is also going to be presenting at that show. So,
in fact, I think Lisa's in my wing, aren't you?
Yeah, she is in your room. That's right. Ooh.
So is Amy. Amy. Yep. And Amy's running the thing. So you'll see all three of us in the same area.
Yeah, but this show isn't about that. It's about you. So I don't want to think about that. Yeah. So we've asked a lot of things about advice. So what advice do you have to give local Lansing area entrepreneurs and hustlers and people out there working, trying to make their dreams come true?
My biggest piece of advice is if someone says that they want to help, take them up on that help.
That's good advice.
You know, I mean, because, you know, as you both know, I had a medical situation a couple of years back and I had so many people say, how can I help? And then in the past, I'd be like, I'm okay. No, I started to call in those papers.
Yeah.
Remember that? They're like, yeah. So yeah, that's why I'm here. That has actually been one of the things that has helped me be more successful over these past couple of years, because what it's allowed me to do was take myself out of in the business and more on the business. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yep.
I was still had my foot where it shouldn't belong, half in, because, you know, I built the stuff on the creativity that I enjoyed to do. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to grow, if you're thinking like, I want to grow, then you got to garden it. You got to cultivate it. You've got to do that stuff. And that's what's got to happen. So, you know, so having folks to help you work on that aspect of your business and get you to focus appropriately in that regard is huge. So if anybody says that they can help you, allow them to help you.
You want to grow, you got to let go. So sometimes you're in a position, you don't have a choice. Yeah, yep. You expanded upon that and it's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Well, I mean, the other thing is like one quick tidbit. When a longtime client of yours says to you, is like when one of your teammates that you've hired in finishes a video for them and they say to you, now Brian, you've worked with them for over a decade and they say, this is the best video we've ever had. That means that number one, you hired well, but number two, get the hell out of the way.
I love it. I've had those moments too, where there's my team members that are much better on certain accounts than I am. They're just more creative, you know? Yep, absolutely.
Fantastic. So, Paul, what are you currently reading or listening to right now?
That's one of my favorite questions that I like to ask. So there's a couple books that I'm reading right now. Well, number one is Profit First. And so I just started that process and I'm going to work that process. That's one. The second one is that I just started is called The War of Art. Is this what it is? Yeah, The War of Art. So that's really big. And then for podcasts and stuff like that, the one that I listen to regularly is Seth Godin's Akimbo podcast. Seth Godin, I've been reading. And I also have his book, The Practice, that I'm about to start here too. But he's been somebody that, you know, I picked up, I don't know when, I was just like, holy cow, this guy is just amazing. But of course, he's been around for quite a bit of time. But I've been reading his blog for like 10 years and stuff like that. And so I read blogs every day. His is one of them. And then I listen to his podcast every week. And then there's sometimes there's other ones that I like are ones that are cautionary tales. Kind of like right now I'm listening to a podcast called Blind Spot, the final chapter. It's about the Elizabeth Holmes case. She was the CEO of Theranos, and it's in court right now. And so that whole story, those cautionary tales fascinate me because these are things you can learn what not to do. So there's also a Netflix documentary called We Crashed. It's about the WeWork phenomenon and how that went belly up. It was a 40 plus billion dollar company that went almost zero in a matter of months because of poor decision making.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah, I can go on and on about that stuff, but I enjoy those. You know, people like their true crime podcasts. I like true business mistake podcasts or something like that. So yeah. It's interesting to me about how you get to this point and be so fraudulent mm-hmm. with how you deal with people. And these are people's lives you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And you're just really taking it way too lightly.
Those are some good options. I like that idea of changing from true crime to true business misadventures because mm-hmm. I can freak myself out listening to too many true crime podcasts. Yeah, for sure.
I would listen to a few. I'm like, I'm just getting a little, what can I actually learn from this? Because I'm not going to go out and murder anybody.
Right.
But the chances of you getting to a point in a business and really making a really crucial mistake and getting out of that.
Yeah.
So I really like those. And so there's several like that. Like if you ever watch, there's a documentary on the Fire Festival. That's another one. That's a huge cautionary tale
mm-hmm.
about you.
How not to put on a festival.
Yeah. Completely right. Misleading. Misleading yeah. your investors, misleading the the people that bought tickets. Oh, it was just like crazy.
Anyway, yeah.
Sorry.
No, this is all great advice. And we will, for our listeners, put a lot of these things in our show notes too. So if you want to get access to these things that Paul is recommending, we'll have it on the show notes for this episode. So one last thing before we wrap up, Paul, yeah. Who should we talk to next? Who do you know?
Oh, geez. I don't know who you haven't talked to. Or you have talked to, much less. Well, let's see. I think talking with Chad Jordan of Craving Popcorn is a really good one.
It is a good one.
I don't know.
He's a local legend.
He is one of my best friends. I've learned a lot from him. Let's see here. Who else is really good? I'm trying to think. And go through all the folks that I talk to.
Yeah. Well, instead of asking you to list all these people out, we would just ask that if you let the people that you know that you're working with about our podcast and that mm-hmm. they can schedule to be on, because I know we'd love to have more nonprofits on here. Anybody's story, just like you, we like to let them tell their story and just, you know, for all of our listeners, you don't have to be an actual business owner. It's not just business owners. It's anybody that's out there hustling, trying to make their dream come true. So just please spread the word and let people know about our podcast. That'd be great.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It has been such a pleasure having you on as a guest, Paul. And I always enjoy every opportunity that I get when I encounter you out in the networking world. And I know that you have overcome great things. You're implementing what you're learning. I'm excited for you to read Profit First. It's a great book.
Yeah, it is so far. I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you so much for having or for being on our show and for taking time to talk to us. This is great. I actually learned some things I didn't know about you, Paul. That's great. And nice. I'm going to Seattle in 2 weeks. So if you have any places I should visit, let me know.
Well, it's been a while. I haven't been there in a long, long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they're there, I'll send you there.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure I'll see you out and about this week. I'm sure I'll see Lisa too, but thank you so much. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at ZediaMedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to ZediaMedia.com. That's ZediaMedia.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media production.